You're listening to the British Baseball Podcast. Hello, baseball family. Matthew here again with Australia's 106th favourite podcast about baseball. And I'm delighted to have alongside me David Martin Byers and Matt Cliff of the Liverpool Trojans Baseball Club. And we're here to talk about blind baseball. But before we get into these tasty bits on blind baseball, these two fine gentlemen, let's have a quick recap about what's been happening in the world of UK blind baseball. Recently, on the 20th of August in 2022, we had the Blind Baseball International Cup, which was held in Holland. Matt Cliff, if you could help me pronounce this, because I am king at butchering names. Sportlandgoed de Hamon in Beek, is it?
Beek.
Well, do you know what? Of all the things I thought I was going to get wrong then, Beek was not the one. Although it would have been the really long, longer 400-point in Scrabble word at the beginning. But yeah, there was a tournament held there in Beek on the 20th of August, where GB, it was like a round robin tournament, quite a lot of teams involved. And GB played Italy first off, which was 0-0. Then he went on to face France in the afternoon, which was a 10-1 victory. Take that, France, and you're breakdancing in the Olympics. And then you went on to face the USA in the semifinals, which was 1-3-2. And that got you through to the gold medal game on the 21st against the Italians. But we'll come across that in a minute. Matt, do you want to tell us about that tournament and any of your highlights from that on and off the field?
Yeah, it was an interesting event. I really enjoyed the tournament. We were a relatively novice team going out, and we didn't know an awful lot about the teams going into it. Obviously, we had COVID slap bang in the middle of development of the sport. So we went into a group with France and Italy, as you say. And I think we were just hoping to get something from it. I don't think we necessarily expected to come out to the groups. Obviously, we weren't there to lose. We were always there to have a go. But we knew in the last cup event that there had been, that the Italians had won, the French had come third, and the Cubans who'd come second weren't coming to this tournament. So we were definitely underdogs. We went out and played the first game against the Italians, which finished 0-0. Now, given that the Italians have been playing for nearly 30 years, they invented the sport, they've got a full competitive structure, which we haven't. A 0-0 was like winning gold in the first match, to be honest. We were absolutely made up. The Italians showed us a lot of respect and a lot of love, to be honest. They were great, actually. We went back to the dugout, had a bit of a break, rest, got ourselves together, and went out again against the French. We'd seen the Italians had played their game against the French and won convincingly. So we were sort of questioning what we were going to do, I guess. And we went out and did the same. We beat them convincingly. Everyone in the squad got to play in that game. So everyone contributed, which was obviously a better way to do it. And yeah, we come out of the groups second, went off to play the semi-finals against the USA, which is just amazing because you think, well, I think USA when I think baseball, and I'm guessing most other people do as well. So that was really exciting, really tense. Literally, last ball, two outs, and we were through, all in the blink of an eye. And when your eyes don't work, those blinks happen all the time. So it was really quite exciting. And then we went off. Then really had to regroup and get ready for the next day. We get ourselves ready for the final, which, you know, didn't go our way. But we were playing for a medal, and that was an awful lot more than we expected. We give it a really good go against the Italians. Highlights for me, I have to say, were getting my first run under my belt, to be honest. And yeah, it was just really, really exciting, to be honest. I've been involved in sport, different things, for a number of years. And I can't remember running out of the pitch the way I did, dancing around, hugging all my teammates. And that was the semi-final victory. So, you know, getting to the final was just amazing.
Yeah, that final game, you said you lost to the Italians. It was a 10-0 defeat. But again, what a momentous occasion coming away from that tournament with a silver medal, with the experience that you had within that tournament. You know, it's fantastic. It just sort of adds to the great summer of British baseball, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we all come away with memories we'll cherish, and to be honest, we've all come away hungry. We knew the Italians were the best, as I said before, they invented the game. So we come back, we regroup, getting ourselves ready to go again next time there's a tournament. But there's a lot more for us to do, you know, domestically in this country, really, and really develop the game.
Yeah, like you said before, the Italians have pretty much been at this for 30 years and have created the sport. So what can British baseball as a community and the clubs learn from the Italians to get British baseball established in the UK?
I think it's the fundamentals of any sport development. For us to develop the sport in the UK, we need more players playing it, more teams playing it, and we need some competitive structure. Going out to the Netherlands to play in this tournament, the only sort of real element of competitive baseball had been playing amongst ourselves, really, in some training sessions. So what British baseball really needs to do is needs to support the UK Blind Baseball Association in linking up with mainstream baseball clubs and helping develop new blind baseball teams, as we're trying to do in Liverpool at the moment.
Yeah. And how did you form your partnership with the Trojans?
Well, to be honest, it was a case of looking what was around. So I've been running a group called Savvy Northwest. We deliver a range of different visually impaired multi-sports. Been running that since about 2009, and we've been involved in sports like cricket, cycling, football, tennis, goalball, loads of different things that we've been involved in. And we came across baseball and really were looking for someone who knew what they were doing, because it was all really quite new to us after we'd been introduced to blind baseball. So we had luck. We came across the Trojans, got in touch, and they've been fantastic from day one, really.
Yeah. Dave, do you want to shed any light on this partnership? How excited are you to get involved in this opportunity?
Well, it came from a committee chat for me, my personal involvement. And there was the shout out that came for people to go down to training. And at that point, my first training session was down at it was a cricket club in Wavertree. So I came down not knowing anything about blind baseball. I just found out it existed. I didn't know the mechanics of it, how it worked. So I came down really, for me, it was just to find out what it was. And I wasn't even sure what kind of role I would have, whether I'd be helping or I'll just be taking it in. And
we got him shouting and catching from day one. Shouting and catching from day one.
Well, John Eaton was very good. So I know John from Manchester Baseball Club. We've played against each other for many years in the league and whatnot. And he was a big help in just guiding me and just telling me what to do and that kind of stuff. And I just found myself getting immersed in that session. And I tried to just watch, but I couldn't really. So I was helping to get the balls in. And after a couple more sessions, because the sessions then moved to Norman Wells Baseball Diamond, where we play our home games, I found myself getting more and more involved with as I found out more about what was required. I've been a coach with our baseball team, and my coach's mind started to start whirring and thinking like, so what kind of advice would I be giving here? You know, a lot of the things that I was doing was about feedback, where the ball's going, and maybe just some little suggestions. But for the most part, the players were really sort of coaching themselves and making those adjustments themselves. And it's been a pleasure to be involved with, and a lot of the other lads in the club. I mean, we've had quite a few different players that have come down. I'd say like Scotty's been down quite a lot, Pips, Ben, and there's been a few others as well that have come down to these sessions. And I think they've all had a very similar experience to what I've had, and just been intrigued and want to experience a bit more.
Yeah, like you said, it's just a fantastic. I mean, I've witnessed it down at Manchester Baseball Club, and I've never seen anything like it, and it's so impressive. And it's not just for the visually impaired and blind, and anyone can get involved as well. It's a level playing field. For those that never heard the episode that I did in the first season with John, Matt, do you want to tell people about what's actually involved within blind baseball?
Yeah, sure. I'll give it a whirl. So in blind baseball, it's five visually impaired players on the pitch at any one time. They occupy just the left field when they're fielding. Everyone has to wear eye shades, so the level of visual impairment you have doesn't matter. So some of our players have quite a lot of vision as a visual impairment. They're partially sighted. Some of them, like myself, are blind. But because everyone's wearing shades, it's a level playing field. We have had some of the lads at the Trojans come and give it a go. We've thrown some shades on them, got them to do a little bit of field and a little bit of running just so they can to see what it's like. But actually, within the team for blind baseball, you're required to have two-sighted players at least anyway, as well as other sighted coaches and assistants around the pitch. So as I say, when you're fielding, you occupy the left field, there's five of you with shades on. You have a sighted second base catcher, who is, I think, 13 feet further on from the run from first to second base. There's another second base catcher there sighted. So when you pick up the ball as a fielder, you have then got to throw the ball with your blindfold on. You can't see what you're going to listen to that second base catcher call, and the aim is to get it there to get the players out. When you're batting, there's no pitcher. You actually hold it with one hand and hit it from your hand with the bat. It's got to travel so far. It can't fly through the air because, you know, that would be dangerous. A lot of people with a blindfold and the ball flying through the air. It has to hit the ground to get past a certain area to be in play for the fielders to play. So when batters have hit the ball, the first aim is to get through second base. First base has a beeper on it, so you can hear it. You've got to run around first base, and then you're running towards second base. At second base, you will have one of your sighted players, and they have a wooden set of clappers in the hands. They are clapping them together, which is a sound you've got to follow to get to second base. As you get closer, the clapping should be quicker, and you will either shuffle in to step in to the base, or ideally slide in and get yourself safe. And that's the same from second to third base. You've got another clapper on third base. Go into home plate. This is the really scary bit, is there's no noise, no sound. You've got to run from third to home, literally feeling the dirt track under your feet, which I have to say doesn't always go well.
Amazing. Incredible. And it's even more impressive to witness it. And I'm hoping that I'll be able to get some video footage of games in action to show people the spectacle that is blind baseball. Are the balls adapted as well in any sort of way?
What a fundamental thing to miss. Yes. So the ball is a hollowed out rubber ball. It's got six holes, and inside that it's got two bells. So the ball, as it's traveling along the ground, will make a noise. Obviously, you wouldn't hear it coming otherwise.
Brilliant. Matt, I think like we've got a bit too far ahead of ourselves here, and it's my fault for just plowing on with the questions. But shall we get to know you a bit more first? Do you want to tell us a bit about your background and your family life and how you got invested in all these different sports? What led you to setting up Savvy?
Yeah, sure. I can go for that. So I've been visually impaired all of my life. As I say, these days I'm more but completely blind, so I see silhouettes and shapes and things. When I was younger, my sight was much better, so I used to be able to read and write and recognise faces and things. But I've got a condition called retinitis pigmentosa, which is a deteriorating condition. As I say, born with it, and actually sport was something I wasn't really very good at. When I was younger, I really struggled with it. Obviously, the visual impairment didn't help. As I got to being a teenager, I sort of accidentally found a talent for running. So the teachers in my secondary school thought I had a bit of potential. So they put me on the school team, which was a mainstream sighted school, and I decided to give the sport a go. Previously, I'd been asked to do some competitions as a disabled or visually impaired runner or athlete, and I'd refused. I sort of kind of struggled with the identity of being a visually impaired or disabled person. But after they put me in the school team, I entered one of these competitions, which is a Disability Sport England competition, and I found this natural talent. I went on with the running to compete at World, European, and even competed in the Commonwealth Games in Melbourne in 2006. I found a real talent for it, and that getting involved in that sport helped to build my confidence, really changed the sort of person I was. Very shy and retiring when I was at school, and I had a bit of a hard time at school, but getting into the sport really helped to build my confidence. So I went and did that for a few years. When I got to a certain age, I started having children. My life changed, I'm afraid. So in 2009 was the last time I competed in athletics. I was at the European Championships, and I met the eldest of my children was born, and life changed. But coincidentally, at the same time, I'd set up Savvy Northwest, the multi-sports club. At this point, I was doing a little bit of cricket here and there, actually having to play my home fixtures in Leamington. And being as though I was living in Merseyside, it's quite a long way to go. So we'd seen a bit of a gap in what was going on, me and a friend of mine. And that's when we decided to set up Savvy, try a few different sports. A lot of them just come along by chance along the way. We got involved with some tennis very early on, just because it was a new sport that was around. And along the journey of Savvy, we've set up teams. Things like the Merseyside Blind Football Team was something we first set up. We've set up a cricket team in Wavertree. We currently run a goalball team as well out of Merseyside. We do a lot of work with tandem cycling too. So we'll try and turn our hands to anything really, as well as living our lives anyway, because we do it all voluntarily. And the baseball was a new project that came up with a link that we had with the Lancashire Lions. So the Lancashire Lions are very similar outfits based in Manchester. They also have goalball, cricket, football provision, various different things. And they introduced us to the blind baseball. And we got chatting to them. They showed us what it was all about, introduced us to John and Nathan, the coaches at UKBBA. And we got going.
It's fantastic. And long may this journey continue. And we'll try and support as much as we can and try and get the sport grown as much as we can too. The whole point of this podcast is to try and, you know, increase participation and grow the game. And I'm hoping that some of these stories will inspire people at clubs to think we need to diversify a bit more. You know, we've seen the women's teams coming on board, and let's get these branches extended further and get some.
This sort of thing is good for teams. So, you know, the baseball teams out there should see that as an opportunity for them. We, you know, we've seen it in, you know, for example, the cricket team we set up at Wavertree. They're able to genuinely demonstrate diversity and what they deliver, and what's more, they love it. And we had the same conversations with the Trojans, and I have to say they didn't need telling twice. The Trojans have been all over it, as Dave said, they've been volunteers at every session. It's been absolutely fantastic. But they're just able to demonstrate that there's, you know, we're not all the same. There's a whole diverse range of people out there, so let's create opportunities for sport for all of them.
Exactly. Dave, and just to show people how simple it is, what changes do you have to make down at Norman Wells Field to let blind baseball take place there?
None at all, really. We've been able to use, depending on the weather, sometimes when there's been some rain, we've just come off the dirt track that we the paths base path.
That's only because some of the players are a bit fair weather. That's nothing to do with being blind. They're all just made of sugar.
I think that was the only thing that adaptation that we had done. But you can use this completely the same diamond, same facilities.
It's the same track. All what you need is, you wouldn't have bases that are raised from the ground because they become a trip hazard. And obviously you need the sound emitting device as well. So we've just secured some funding to get some adaptations through from the Italians, actually, the proper adapted base, which would need to be put into first base for us to use. But improvising as things go, you can use Bluetooth speakers and even just your voice and a whistle. It doesn't have to be too complicated to just get started.
Yeah, definitely. Like you said, we've seen with people, suddenly, like I said, with the clappers and other people with like the sirens and stuff, it's very, very easy to do, I suppose. So it's not really any excuses. I'd love to see how the community takes to this and just get grown. And again, just to see more numbers participating. I'd be really interested as well, Matt, to know, what do your, I can't think of the word to say that.
You're going to say cited.
Friends think about all these blind sports you're involved in?
One thing I would say is don't be worrying too much about being PC. If you don't mean offence, you don't mean offence. But to be honest, my friends just the sort of used to it, really, because I'm just Matt. So I still do the same old things as I would do. I just happen to have interests that might be different to theirs. And because I'm visually impaired, I can't just go to the local sort of Sunday league team. There has to be something a bit more organised and a bit more rehearsed, really. But not really bothered. And like my children are the same, to be honest. They don't see anything different. So I can come back from the Netherlands, a World Cup, which is, it's a big deal. You know, come back with a silver medal, that's really a big deal. Now, my kids, particularly my eldest daughter, mentioned it to her friends at school as if it was nothing, because to them it's just nothing. They don't know any difference other than me, and my friends are all the same. Whereas my daughter's mates thought it was amazing. But you know, people don't really think anything. It's just, it is what it is. They're excited because it's high level, it's good development. But I don't think it's any different than for anyone else.
Awesome, Dave. Do you want to ask any questions or throw anything in?
Well, I'd like to say a little bit about some of the thinking from the Trojans' point of view, because we the wider Trojan organisation, 10 years ago we only had one team, and since then we've sought to kind of expand the club and make it more accessible to a lot more people, and initially we did what was the logical step. So we started the second team. I saw players who weren't getting game time for the first team. And I thought, well, this is the opportunity now to start a second team. And from the second team, led the third team. We went to four teams this season. We started a softball team where we've now got women playing softball. And it's also an opportunity for some of our, I'd call them retired players. I'm sure they won't mind me saying that, but they've come back into active sport again. So collaboration with blind baseball is absolutely like in that same approach, and we're looking forward to where it goes. So, I mean, that's all I've really wanted to say. I thought the International Cup is fantastic. It was great to be a part of the training sessions leading up to that. And Matt, just correct me if I'm wrong, but was it right that I heard that there hadn't been any runs scored by the Great Britain team in previous tournaments or in previous matches? Is that right?
But yeah, that's right. I don't know whether we should take a bit pride in this, but I was the first one to get one, although that does come with having the responsibility of opening the batting. So, but you know what? Anyone in that, and particularly in the France game, we all went out there and smashed it and really showed people what we could do. But yeah, previously it was the priority was all about getting to second and third base, and that had been a challenge enough for such a new sport.
Yeah, so it's exceeded all expectations. Would that be fair to say?
Absolutely. I think, honestly, we weren't expected to get out the group stages in that tournament. Anything would have been a result. So coming away with a medal is beyond the wildest dreams, I think.
Cool. Well, to be a small part of that in the lead-up, we're made up.
Well, phenomenal. And just let's not go unnoticed. There was three Trojans on that GB team, which isn't bad going for such an early start.
Yeah, fantastic.
Definitely. What was the training like before you went out to Netherlands then? Like you said that you had a couple of meetups beforehand. What sort of things did you do for like your tournament prep and your game prep?
I think in some respect there were individual things to work on. We'd had a little bit of an outing to Italy in May, which is, you know, working with some of their development clubs. So a few of us newer players, because, you know, a lot of us had only just started this season. We'd come away with individual things to work on. We went out to play in a friendly in Italy, and I went out and struck out straight away, kicking myself all the way back home. So for me, I was working on just that that consistency of hitting. Having a background in running the bases was not, was actually my strength, but just that consistency of hitting for me personally. So we all had our individual things. For some people, it was fielding and throwing. As a collective, we decided that we wanted to field and defend, better as a team. And actually, that really made the difference in the tournament. That's how we got the draw against the Italians in the group stages, because we defended solidly as a unit. There's an awful lot of communication involved when there's five of you running around with blindfolds on. You've really got to spend a lot of time working together. So in some respects, hitting the ball, you can work on individually. Some degree of throwing, you can work on individually. Some sort of sprint training, you can work on individually. But that communication with each other and that sort of defending as a unit, you need to be doing that together. So that's where a lot of the focus was in the weeks leading up to the tournament.
I'd just like to add, what really impressed me in those first few sessions, that whilst there are some similarities between the two different codes of the sport, the essence of baseball was the same. I just felt like a baseball game. It felt like a baseball activity. It's so there's something about the essence of it that was captured in that. And I thought that was really good.
It's interesting that, Dave, because obviously not being someone who knows an awful lot of baseball, my first introduction to the sport was really the blind version of the game. And yet we come down to watch the Trojans in the playoff finals the other week, and it was very easy for us to, with a bit of explanation for some of the complications of some of the rules, to actually follow what was going on. So we got some of that, giving us some audio description on what was happening in the finals. And it made a lot of sense. So, yeah, it goes both ways, actually.
That's brilliant. It's great to know that it's still, like you said then, Dave, that the essence of the game still feels like baseball. How would you rank it then amongst the other blind sports that you play, Matt? And this being a baseball podcast, you don't have to say baseball at the top if you don't want to.
Do you know what? I'll be really honest with you. I'm really, really loving my baseball. Now, and I'm not saying that just because this is baseball, because I love sport. I'm a sporting person. I really, really love running the bases. Having had a background of sprinting when I was younger, as my sights got worse, I can't go running without a guide, and getting a guide run is not easy. The adrenaline of running those bases, running around that first base, the beeper, and then running as fast as you can to some poor second base clapper waiting for me to dive at the feet, that really gets the adrenaline going. I absolutely love it. So at the moment, that's where my heart is in my sport.
It's something to be witnessed, seeing Matt run to second base. some of the lads, like, including myself, we tried to do that, and it's just so unnerving trying to run. I was pretty much just hobbling along, really, because you're so worried about hitting something that you know is not there, but it's still in your head. But Matt runs there's no impediment at all. He just runs, and the slide as well. It was a proper slide, you know.
It's trust as well. You've got to get used to the people around you and get used to timing that. But people around you they're not there to hurt you or trip you up. It's a fear thing. If you've got those shades on, you're petrified naturally. The first time I wore shades was playing blind football years ago, and that was really, really unnerving. It is a confidence thing. And hopefully I'll never, trip on someone or something, but you never know.
Brilliant. So Matt, what are the future plans then?
So the future plans really for us at Trojans, we are going to sort of keep going with what we're doing. We as players are still, learning the game. And all of the sighted players and coaches and volunteers who've got involved similarly. So we're sort of wanting to keep going with what we're doing. But what we need wider than that, and what UK Blind Baseball are hoping for, is that we'll get some more clubs set up and down the country. We're sort of sneakily hoping that we'll be the first one in Liverpool, but ultimately it doesn't really matter. I know UK Blind Baseball, I've been all over the country working with British Blind Sports in their Have a Go and Tasty Days, promoting the sport, introducing people to blind baseball. What we need now is those tasters to turn into teams, So that's linking in with other teams like we've been able to do so well with the Trojans in Liverpool. We want those groups of visually impaired people in Swansea, in Sheffield, in Newcastle, wherever these sessions have been taking place. They've been in Exeter, Somerset, Bristol, all sorts. We want the teams in the various areas across the country linking in with those groups. I suppose we've got to find a way to get the right people talking. So that's baseball clubs and local providers of services and sight loss and visually impaired people, really, so that we've got competition. So we've got some people to play against.
Yeah. So I'm just trying to make notes as we go, because I think it's important for myself and like for us, Dave, and other people involved in baseball in this country to try and do what we can do ourselves as individuals and as clubs to try and make these opportunities take, you know. So what would you want us to do? Like what can we do as the baseball community to help grow blind baseball as a sport?
I think what I would be saying to baseball clubs and British baseball is to actively engage with UK blind baseball. I know that UK BBA are up and down the place and they're doing tasting sessions all the time. But if I was asking the British baseball population to do something, it would be actively look for it, actively get involved. You know, I know a load of lads and girls at the Trojans that have done that and they really enjoy taking part in what we do. So I'd be saying, seek it out and then find out, you know, what are the local organisations, the local providers of those sight loss services. Because visually impaired people are always looking for things to do. You know, I've got the pleasure of having lots of visually impaired friends, and I now work in the sight loss sector. Away from all of my sport, I've got a job and doing that. And there's lots of people looking for things to do. You know, getting involved in sport and physical activity is good for the social element of life. You know, having meeting new people, it's good for mental health and well-being. It's good for your physical health. So yeah, I would be putting the onus on clubs to go and seek out UK BBA and you know, really try and learn what it's all about. Not to mention also, we, you know, as well as clubs, players, we need umpires, we need officials, we need the organisers of, you know, mainstream sighted baseball to figure out, well, what do we need to do to put that infrastructure together? You know, we're talking about having teams and wanting competitions. We need umpires. We need people there to get involved in that. So I'd be saying to the umpires across the country, seek out UK BBA. Get in touch with John at UK BBA, because I know he's doing some of this work already. But if you're interested in getting involved, seek it out.
Yeah, he has been putting a lot of work in. Seeing down at the field, he's very passionate about this. And you can go to the website, which is ukblindbaseball.co.uk. There's a Facebook group, UK Blind Baseball Association, Twitter at UK Blind Baseball. There's a YouTube channel, which is well worth subscribing to and checking out, UK Blind Baseball Association, and email address, of course, ukblindbaseball@gmail.com, which I'll put all the links in there too. And of course, Matt does your own savinorthwest.com. SavinorthWest.com. All links will be provided in the show notes too. Yeah, Matt, this is brilliant. It's all been absolute gold. It's time to close out the show, and it's tradition to give the floor over to the guest. So, Matt Cliff, the floor is all yours. And Dave, if you are chirping as well, you're also a guest. You can also have your say as well. But Matt, take it away.
Brilliant. No, thanks for inviting me along this evening to talk about this. You'll get the impression from me, I get really, really passionate about sport. It's played a big, big part in my life, and it plays a big part in the lives of lots of people that I know. You know, and it's not just the taking part in sport, it's not just competition. We love just getting involved, meeting new people, developing those social activities. Whether I'm allowed to say this on the podcast or not, but our recce for every sport we do is, where's the nearest pub, where's the nearest bar, where's the nearest place that we can go to, because there's more to it than just the sport. But no, I, you know, it's really good to have the opportunity to promote any of these sports that we're into. And I'm an active advocate for saying to people, try anything. But I have to say, I've really, really enjoyed the baseball. So you know, honestly, to anyone listening, get involved. If you know someone who's visually impaired, who's maybe a bit unsure about getting involved in any activities, I'm more than happy for anyone to give me a call. They don't have to be from Liverpool or Merseyside. Just give me a shout and we can point people in the right direction. All about getting people involved.
That's fantastic. Thank you very much. Dave, over to you.
I'll just be really reiterating what Matt said about the power of sport, the benefits it can bring, the connection. And I would hope that this conversation that we're having here continues and ripples out. And if there's any baseball clubs that want to speak to us or start a conversation amongst their own clubs, and like Matt says, then reach out to the British Blind Baseball Association, get some more information, and maybe some local visually impaired or sight loss groups. That could be the start of something that would be really beneficial for all the people involved. So I'll just encourage people to have a little think about that and see what happens.
Yeah, lovely. What a great way to end the show. Matthew, David, this has been an absolute blast. Thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate this. And I must give a big shout out to yourself, Dave, for making this happen. You came up with this to as a feature. You know, as I said, it's something I've been trying to get more of, the UK blind sport and women's baseball as well. So thank you so much for bringing this to the table and for introducing me to Matt as well. Matt, it's been brilliant to meet you. Hopefully I'll see you in Liverpool, maybe for a taster myself.
More than welcome.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But you're from Manchester though, aren't you, Matt? So you'll be the opposition if we get the competition off the ground.
Well, maybe so, but you know, I'd still like to come down to Liverpool and see you beforehand so that you don't give me too much of a kick in when we face each other in the field, you know.
I can't make it, but no guarantees. I'll be wearing a blindfold. Yeah. So just stay out of the way and you'll be all right. Thanks for having us. It's been great.
Yeah, no, pleasure's all mine. Right, gentlemen, enjoy the rest of your evening. This has been fantastic. I'll catch you all soon.
Thanks, Matt.
Cheers.